ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावतीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति. We'll chant verses 42, the end, chapter 1, page number 49.
It's
chapter 1, 41, 49 page. Verses 40 till the end.
कुलक्षये प्रणश्यन्ति कुलक्षये प्रणश्यन्ति कुलधर्मासनातनाः कुलधर्मासनातनाः धर्मे नष्टे कुलं कृत्स्नं धर्मे नष्टे कुलं कृत्स्नं अधर्मो विभवत्युत अधर्मो विभवत्युत कुलक्षये प्रणश्यन्ति कुलधर्मासनातनाः धर्मे नष्टे कुलं कृत्स्नम् अधर्मो विभवत्युत अधर्माविभवात् कृष्णम् अधर्माविभवात् कृष्णम् प्रदुष्यन्ति कुलस्त्रियः प्रदुष्यन्ति कुलस्त्रियः स्त्रीषु दृष्टा सुवार्ष्णेय स्त्रीषु दृष्टा सुवार्ष्णेय जायते वर्णसंकरः जायते वर्णसंकरः अधर्माविभवात् कृष्णम् प्रदुष्यन्ति कुलस्त्रियः स्त्रीषु दृष्टा सुवार्ष्णेय जायते वर्णसंकरः संकरो नरकायैव कुलज्ञानां कुलस्य च कुलज्ञानां कुलस्य च पतन्ति पितरो हेषां पतन्ति पितरो हेषां लुप्तपिण्डोदकक्रियाः लुप्तपिण्डोदकक्रियाः संकरो नरकायैव कुलज्ञानां कुलस्य च पतन्ति पितरो हेषां लुप्तपिण्डोदकक्रियाः दोषैरेतैकुलज्ञानां वर्णसंकरकारकैः वर्णसंकरकारकैः उत्साध्यन्ते जातिधर्माः उत्साध्यन्ते जातिधर्माः कुलधर्माश्च शाश्वताः कुलधर्माश्च शाश्वताः दोषैरेतैकुलज्ञानां वर्णसंकरकारकैः उत्साध्यन्ते जातिधर्माः कुलधर्माश्च शाश्वताः उत्सन्नकुलधर्माणाम् उत्सन्नकुलधर्माणाम् मनुष्याणां जनार्दन मनुष्याणां जनार्दन नरके नियतं वासः नरके नियतं वासः भवतीत्यनुशुश्रुमाम् भवतीत्यनुशुश्रुमाम् उत्सन्नकुलधर्माणाम् मनुष्याणां जनार्दन नरके नियतं वासः भवतीत्यनुशुश्रुमाम् अहो भदमहत्पापम् अहो भदमहत्पापम् कर्तुं व्यवसिता वयम् कर्तुं व्यवसिता वयम् यद्राज्यसुखलोभेन यद्राज्यसुखलोभेन हन्तुं स्वजनमुद्यताः हन्तुं स्वजनमुद्यताः अहो भदमहत्पापम् कर्तुं व्यवसिता वयम् यद्राज्य सुखलोभेन हन्तुं स्वजनमुद्यताः यदि माम प्रतीकारम् अशस्त्रं शस्त्रपाणयः दातराश्रावणे हन्युः तन्मे क्षेमतरं भवेत् यदि माम प्रतीकारम् अशस्त्रं शस्त्रपाणयः दातराश्रावणे हन्युः तन्मे क्षेमतरं भवेत् सञ्जय उवाच एवमुक्त्वार्जुनः सङ्ख्ये रतोपस्त उपाविशत् विसृज्य सशरं चापम् शोकसंविग्नमानसः सञ्जय उवाच एवमुक्त्वार्जुनः सङ्ख्ये रतोपस्त उपाविशत् विसृज्य सशरं चापम् शोकसंविग्नमानसः
Verse number 38 and 39, which we did the last week, very clearly shows that Arjuna is able to see the blemish in the Kauravas, especially Duryodhana. But he fails to see the blemish within himself. He says, although these, the Kauravas, with intelligence overwhelmed by greed, see no evil in the destruction of the family and sin in treachery to friends. O Janardana, protector of people Krishna, why should not we, who clearly see evil in the destruction of the family, learn to turn away from this sin? Now, we did point out here that an extroverted mind is easily able to see the blemish in others, even though it's a very small blemish. But it fails to recognize a huge blemish within. That's how the extroverted mind functions. So we even spoke about the poem Turkey and the Ant. Last four lines, ere you remark another sin, bid thine own conscience look within, control thy more voracious will, nor for a breakfast nation skip. Usually we don't even recognize the tendency to criticize in us. But if someone else criticizes us, we are agitated. Maybe the agitation continues for days or months. How could he or she speak about me like that? So, the extroverted mind, as it is destroying, in the case of Turkey, millions of ants, is pointing fingers at human beings. It's a very small blemish compared to what it is up to do. It is doing rather. So therefore, the poet is saying, whenever you have a thought of criticism, any finger pointing happens within, you are trying to point fingers at somebody, then look within and ask yourself, and most likely you would probably have the same blemish, not some other blemish, same blemish, much more magnified in you. The turkey is saying human beings kill turkey every Christmas, as it is killing millions of ants for one breakfast. So Every time we tend to point fingers at others, we must pause and ponder, ask ourselves, why is it that I am easily able to see this fault in somebody? Is it because I have the same thing hiding in me somewhere? And another question that you are supposed to ask is, even if I don't have this blemish, I might have so many other blemishes within me. Just like how I am struggling to change myself in spite of reading Bhagavad Gita, studying it, understanding it, I am still not able to change myself. Same way, probably that other person is also trying his or her best to change. So therefore, why should I criticize? If there is something that comes in my way in terms of relationships or work where I need to take some external action, I do that. But I should not hate the person. Like Jesus Christ says, hate the sin and not the sinner. There is truly nobody who can be called as a sinner, because everybody essentially are divine. So here Arjuna's extroverted mind is able to clearly see, he himself says, the greed which has overpowered their intelligence in the case of Kauravas. But he is not able to see the fact within himself that his attachments have overpowered his thinking. That is why he is talking like this. So even in television you can see so many programs happen, everybody comes and criticizes. Usually they criticize the politicians. It's easy. I'm not saying whether what you're saying is right or wrong, I don't know. But then the easiest thing to do in life is point fingers. This is the main teachings of Vedanta. That is, you think you are perfectly alright. The world needs correction. The world needs improvement. Therefore, all our efforts are in changing the other person, changing the world. If the husband or the wife, very rarely both come to the class. If husband or the wife is attending the sessions, the husband might think, yes, my wife definitely needs this, so let her go to this class. Wife might think, it is actually needed for that fellow, he is not coming, I don't need this, but anyway, let me at least attend this. So usually we think it is the other person who needs improvement, correction. Vedanta says, you have to change your inside, the within. Then the world as it is, without changing anything, would suddenly give you happiness. There's a small story about a king. He was a good administrator, ruling his kingdom very well. But you know, there was so much of work to be done, and all this was giving him stress. He was slowly losing peace of mind. So he asked his ministers, I want peace of mind, where do you think I can get it? They said, you go to the Himalayas, there is this sage, you go to him, approach him. He will teach you how to find peace. This is the only option we have. So he quickly goes to the Himalayas and finds that sage, prostrates to him and says, I am the king of this kingdom. I have lost my peace, I am terribly agitated. And my ministers told me that the only place where I can get peace, how to find peace, is something that you teach. So I have come to you. So I surrender to you, you are my guru. Please teach me how to find peace. He said, see, I will teach you all that, how to find peace, some meditation techniques and everything. But then it will take some time. Till then, who is going to rule the kingdom? The state cannot be without the king for long, you know. So he said, you have to appoint somebody as the king. And whomever you appoint as the king should be somebody who is relatively peaceful. So the king said, yes. So you appoint somebody. Then the king said, the only person whom I can find who is really peaceful is you. So I appoint you as the king. So sage says, okay. So now the sage has become the king, and the king has become the ordinary citizen. Now he says, okay, give me, teach me the technique of becoming peaceful. Now sage said, okay, I will teach you all that, but now that you have given me this responsibility to rule this kingdom, I have to now seriously think about not just you, but about the entire kingdom. You know, a lot of citizens are there, so how am I going to rule? I don't have any experience. I don't know how to rule the kingdom. All my life I've been only in Himalaya studying Vedas and this. I never ruled the kingdom. So now I don't know how to do. So, but something tells me that even though I cannot rule as a king, I can scrutinize amongst my subjects as to who is the best person to rule on my behalf. So now I'm thinking about it, and when I think of that, you are the best candidate in this whole country. Because you've been the king, you have the best experience, so you are the best candidate to rule this kingdom on my behalf. So I, as a king, appoint you to rule on my behalf. Now the king has to, earlier king had to accept, because he's just a subject, he has to accept what the king says. So he says, okay, I'll rule on your behalf. So he says, okay, you go and rule for a few months on my behalf, then come back, I'll give you the technique of peace and all that. So he goes back to his kingdom. Strangely, he finds after a few days, he says, I don't get stressed anymore. What is the reason? Before also he was ruling, now also is the same person who is ruling. But earlier he thought, I am the king, I am the owner. Now, I am ruling on behalf of somebody, I am a trustee. So when you do continue doing the same thing what you have been doing with an attitude of trustee, you will suddenly find peace. Without changing anything. That's why I said, same husband, same wife, same children, same country, same city, same house, same servants, everything being same, you will continue to be peaceful. In fact, with a peaceful mind, whatever necessary changes you feel you need to bring externally for a better living, you will be able to bring that also. But most importantly, correction within is the first step. And we all don't do that. We are so deeply convinced that I am all right, that somebody outside requires correction. When we have this program for parenting, art of parenting, lots of parents come and sit with the hope of thinking that the person is going to talk about how to correct the children. But the whole lecture, whole thing will be on parents. Like in the third chapter, Lord Krishna says, Yadyad acharati shreshtaha tattad eva itara janaha sayat pramanam kurute lokas tadanu vartate. Whatever standard the leader sets, that alone the followers will follow. So how we behave as parents. So parenting is more about ourselves rather than about children. Yes, of course we will be talking about children, child psychology and all that. It's more about us. So the bitter pill that Vedanta gives, which is difficult to swallow, is just change yourself.
Change your attitude.
Change your attitude. Change yourself, basically. No need to even think that something wrong outside.
It's trusting in the opportunity, it's like having a feeling of temporary responsibility. But it's, I have a feeling of mind goes away.
Exactly. There is something else taking care of everything. So I am just playing my role. I do it to the best of my ability and move. So every different stages in life and every occasion, we have different roles to play. Right? So we just play that and move. But then we assume that everything is on my shoulders. I have to.
That creates more stress.
So wherever the I comes, stress comes. You know? So, it's all about fine-tuning one's own personality. This is a bitter pill to swallow. Every time people come and discuss some problem or the other, we kind of slowly say, okay, that person is like this, this person is like that, it's fine. But why you are getting agitated by that? Like Swamiji always asked, if your neighbor has eaten chili, why are you getting stomachache? Because usually you say, you know, my friend, I was so faithful to him, but he has breached my trust. And that has made me go through sleepless nights. So, in other words, you are saying, that fellow made a mistake, and you are not able to sleep. So Swamiji basically says, if someone ate chili, why are you getting stomachache? So there is somewhere down the line, you tend to get involved. So, it looks as if Arjuna is talking so wisely, but there is so much of fallacy in what he talks. So he says, why should not we who clearly see, this is another problem, clearly seeing. Sattvic person also sees clearly. Tamasic fellow also thinks he is seeing clearly. Rajasic fellow is confused, he has no problem. The Sattvic fellow also has no problem. He is very clear, but he is also open-minded. Tamasic person is not clear, but he thinks he is clear. And the sign of Tamas is very, very sure that he is adamant and argumentative and is close-minded. That's the difference between Sattvic and Tamasic. Tamasic intellect sees wrong as right. And it is not open-minded. Sattvic intellect sees right as right and wrong as wrong. It's very clear. At the same time, it's open-minded. If it gets a better logic and reason, it's prepared to change. So, here Arjuna continues his so-called logic. We'll chant verse number 40.
Kulakshaye pranashyanti, kulakshaye pranashyanti, kuladharma sanatanaha, kuladharma sanatanaha, dharme nashte kulam kritsnam, dharme nashte kulam kritsnam, adharmo bibhavatyutham, adharmo bibhavatyutham, kulakshaye pranashyanti, kuladharma sanatanaha, dharme nashte kulam kritsnam, adharmo bibhavatyutham.
In the destruction of a family, the religious rites of the family perish. Having lost spirituality, impiety indeed overcomes the entire family. Now Arjuna, see, the whole thing is Arjuna is going on speaking and Krishna is silent. Therefore, he continues giving more so-called logic. His mind is disturbed, he is just talking. He says, in the destruction of a family, which is what he is so worried. He says, we are about to commit a great sin, we are going to destroy the whole family. The entire Kaurava Kula will be destroyed. So in the destruction of a family, the immemorial religious rites will be destroyed. Family values and traditions. There will be nobody left to do the traditions. Therefore he is worried that the spirituality will be lost and there will be so much of chaos. The value system and everything will break down. Now, if you see in the whole discussion that, or rather whole argument that Arjuna puts forth, you can clearly see his mind is worried about the external and not the internal. It is basically because the Kauravas lost the values. They had enforced this condition, the situation of war. Already the family values and traditions are lost. Elders were not respected. Noble people's suggestions were not taken. Everything was disregarded. Right? So the value system, the tradition, everything is already broken. It is not as though only after destroying these people, then the value systems will be destroyed. Since the value system and tradition has already been broken, they have come to this scenario. This is the ulta actually. What Arjuna is talking is completely ulta. Since there is anarchy, there is disorder and there is lack of government in a society. Instead of understanding that, Arjuna is saying, if I kill these people now, if we can kill these people now, then there won't be anybody to follow the values. It means the mechanical rituals, the traditions, the rituals, etc. You see, rituals and traditions, no doubt, are meaningful. But that has to be done with a certain right attitude at the mind level. If the mind is corrupt, and mechanically if somebody does a ritual, if mechanically you sit down and read Gita, what benefit is it going to bring? So therefore, the whole thing that he is talking about here is out of confusion and topsy-turvy. In the destruction of a family, the immemorial religious rites of the family perish. And then he connects that with laws of spirituality. Spirituality is not just practicing at the external level. Supposing you are chanting Lord's name. But mind is thinking about something else. What sort of spirituality is that? You know, supposing you are chanting shlokas in the puja room, and that time someone had come and taken something and running away. So you are pointing out to your wife at that time and say, you understand the sense? You are all the time focusing on the things other than God. Now, you may be chanting shlokas. What is the use? Thinking about money. Your mind is focused on the ornaments the goddess is wearing. The crown on the Lord. Of what use is it? Such practices. Spirituality is not divorced from the mind. Because mechanically you keep on doing at the physical level. That's why Swamiji says it's not a part-time, pastime hobby. It is a full-time awareness of truth. Nowadays it is becoming hobby. It should not become like a hobby. So, all his so-called arguments are coming clearly from his basic understanding. He is more concerned about the external than the internal. Like many of us are more concerned about being polite externally, but inside there is so much of harshness. When there is lacking, love lacking within, and in outside you speak so softly, sweetly, what is the use? You may be saying thanks externally, but you don't really mean it. You know, you find today a lot of people use these words commonly. Thank you, sorry, I love you. None of them mean that. This is a thank you. Do you really mean that? Or say sorry? Do you really mean when you say sorry? So these are words which are spoken generally without any heart coming behind. So here also Arjuna is more concerned about the religious rites and traditions. No doubt one must follow the values and traditions. These are like refrigerators. Like those days, earlier days they used to save butter, keeping them in water. so that it doesn't get spoiled. How does you put it in the refrigerator? So the value systems and traditions are like the methods to preserve our culture. Of course you must follow them, but that must be followed with understanding, with reverence, with the right attitude. All that must go together. When the very reverence and the attitude and everything has been already destroyed, that means the family is already destroyed. Leaving them to continue even what little value system is available here and there, that also will be corrupt. So the situation is such that you need to stand up and take action at the external level. Without understanding this, Arjuna is talking about how we can go about destroying the external. And he continues.
Adharma bibhavat Krishna, adharma bibhavat Krishna, pradushyanti kulastriyah, pradushyanti kulastriyah, strishu drishta suvashneya, strishu drishta suvashneya, jayate varna sankarah, jayate varna sankarah, adharma bibhavat Krishna, pradushyanti kulastriyah, strishu drishta suvashneya, jayate varna sankarah.
By the prevalence of impiety, O Krishna, the women of the family become corrupt. Women being corrupt, O Varshniya, there arises intermixture of caste. Now, firstly, he is saying, once the impiety prevails, anarchy prevails, then the woman will become corrupt. And once the woman become corrupt, there arises intermixture of caste. Now, we can clearly see here few points that he is trying to put forth. First is intermixture of caste. This casteism has been a totally misunderstood concept. Caste is based on guna, not janma. Just because you are born to a Brahmin father doesn't mean you immediately become a Brahmana. Every individual's mind is made up of three temperaments called as sattva, rajas and tamas. Sattva is when your mind is calm, composed, serene, placid. Rajas is when your mind is disturbed, agitated. Tamas is when your mind is lazy, lethargic, indolent, indifferent, heedless to the consequence, etc. And all of us have all these three temperaments. Everybody's mind is a mixture of sattva, rajas and tamas. The difference comes in the proportion in the mixture. In some case, sattva is more than the rajas and tamas. In some, rajas is more than sattva and tamas. In some case, tamas is more than sattva and rajas. The mixture is different. But all of us have sattva, rajas, tamas. If you are predominantly sattvic, very little rajas and tamas, you are a brahmana. If you are predominantly rajasic, have a good amount of sattva and little tamas, then you become kshatriya. You are predominantly rajasic and also have high amount of tamas and little sattva, you become vaishya. Predominant tamas, little rajas, very negligible sattva, you become a shudra. In the sense, such mental temperaments are suited for certain types of work. That's all. There is no such thing as somebody superior than the other or inferior than the other, nothing like that. These things are all because of the confusion and the ego of the individuals in the society at different times. Based on the guna, even when you recruit a person into your office, organization, you find out if somebody wants to come, you find out, okay, you want to join our organization, so you interview that person and you try to find out if he'll be better in marketing or sales. You know? So therefore, each individual's nature, according to that, he or she will gravitate to work. And he or she will be more useful in that area. In our body, kidney is doing the job of a shudra, for example, constantly filtering the dirt, let us say. Now, would you say that kidney is inferior to brains? Hands are inferior to brains? Nothing like that. Each part of the body supplements and complements each other. Brain is supposed to do what it is supposed to do. Kidney is supposed to do what it is supposed to do. Kidney is not inferior to brain, brain is not superior to kidney. Similarly, in life, based on the nature and temperament of the person's mind, he was allotted work because of the simple reason that he will be happy doing that, number one. And number two, he'll be best useful for the society from that level. But if his temperament changes, he obviously moves to the next level, whatever that is. I won't even want to say next level, into the other category. So, intermixture of caste, by that what he means is, if all the men die, then women will be forced to marry somebody else from different caste, then the children born will be of different caste. He is predominantly thinking that the caste system is based on birth. But that's not the case. Caste system is based on guna.
So here also, in Gita, the interpretation of the caste system is based on jan, and guna must have been earlier in the Gita.
No, in Gita itself is guna.
It's guna.
Yeah.
But what Arjuna is saying?
He also Arjuna is saying. Krishna is not saying.
Yeah.
Arjuna is thinking like that.
So
true.
He
is interpreting it as Jan. He is thinking that it is based on Jan. It is not based on Jan. You find somebody born in a business family, not at all interested in business. He wants to do studying Vedas and all the stuff, and the business family, everybody comes on him and says, no way. Nothing doing, you know, not understanding. And that person will take up Vedanta much later. You cannot remove the the nature like this by exposing your nature, directing it for a higher cause, for a welfare, for the welfare of the world. Slowly you might rise to something else, but you cannot just short circuit it. It's impossible. You cannot suppress it. So you need to find out whether this person is suitable for it. In fact, I keep on mentioning in my classes, see, a Vedanti is actually a Shudra. In the sense, a true Brahmana is actually a Shudra, in my opinion. Why? Because what are you supposed to do? Just keep on cleansing your vasanas. That's all we should be concerned about. And what is that? If you say that is the job of a Shudra, then you are a Shudra. So there is, in fact, all this nonsense must have happened because of some selfish people, some ignorant people trying to interpret things without having proper knowledge. And that's why all these confusions are happening. One statement that he makes here is true. If at all there is tradition and value in today's society, being practiced, to some extent you find spirituality. I would attribute that mainly to women than men. I'm not saying men are not into spirituality. The percentage is more. Women, basically, when you say woman and man, it is more the nature. Feminine qualities and masculine qualities. Even a woman is physically designed conservative. A man is physically designed also to be explorative. So woman conceives, she is able to be patient and multiplies it. That's why if you see in Hindu Dharma, the portfolio of knowledge is given to Goddess Saraswati. The portfolio of power is given to Goddess Durga. The portfolio of wealth is given to Goddess Lakshmi. Generally, they have more capacity to absorb and multiply that. But if the woman also become corrupt, then that particular statement may be correct. But just because you kill the destructive people in the society doesn't mean that the woman will become corrupt. That logic is wrong. But the particular statement that he is trying to say, that woman also become corrupt, then the entire society is finished. That is true. I am not saying this because here predominantly it is women. But it is a fact. Even we refer to the earth as Mother Earth. The capacity to absorb the seed, bear all the nonsense we do, so much of plastics and everything that we throw into it, there is so much of capacity to bear, so much to absorb and grow, multiply. This is an unique feminine quality which some men might also have. And now I might say that some women are losing it, not realizing that this is the strength. Actually, if you see, of the two sexes, women, according to me, are the most powerful sex. But then, because of some complex, slowly they are also trying to imitate men. No need to compare yourself with the other and then develop complex. So, by the prevalence of impiety, O Krishna, the woman of the family become corrupt. This is a sheer illogical statement that he is making. When the destructive people are destroyed, then the constructive people come to the helm of affairs, then how is it that the women become corrupt? Again, if you see even through all his statements, one thing becomes very clear to us, that he is taking the external things as main thing. Women are more capable of defending themselves. It is not because of men being around them that they are able to practice values. They must say, for example, because there are soldiers and all these people protecting us from the borders, we are able to be comfortably do our duty here. If they don't do their duty, then we'll be finished. So if at the borders people become corrupt, then that needs to be sorted out. Which is what the reason for this war is, basically. By allowing them to continue to do that, how is it that the woman will be able, or anybody for that matter, sitting inside the country, be able to perform their duties properly? So all this is utter confusion, because of which Arjuna is speaking here. Verse 42. Sankaro narakayaiva, sankaro narakayaiva, kulagnanam kulasya cha, kulagnanam kulasya cha, patanti pitaro hesham, patanti pitaro hesham, lukta pindodaka kriyaha, lukta pindodaka kriyaha, sankaro narakayaiva, kulagnanam kulasya cha, patanti pitaro hesham, lukta pindodaka kriyaha. Confusion of castes indeed leads the destroyers of the family and the family to hell. Verily, their ancestors fall. Deprived of the offerings of rice ball and water. He is referring to the Shraddha ceremony. Now, see, in the classes, I particularly mention that it's very important that we follow our tradition, our value. It is not without a reason that you are born in a particular family, married into a particular family. So it is important that you follow the traditions and values, but with understanding and the right attitude and sense of proportion, no doubt. So, Shraddha ceremony, all these ceremonies must be followed. The traditional system must be upheld. But the logic that he is giving here is very interesting. He says, the confusion of caste will have, which is assumed, due is going to happen because of these things, will lead the destroyers of the family and the family to hell. This is wrong. You are not destroying the family when you destroy the evildoers in the family. You are destroying the family only when you destroy the value system. You are not destroying the value system, you are destroying the evildoers of the family. How can that become destroyers of family? And he is also talking about going to hell. His mind is going into future and all that rather than seeing the present in the right context. And then he says, if the Shraddha ceremony and all those things are not done, then the ancestors will fall. Because according to him, if the men die, then who will do the Shraddha? Then they will fall. See, all these things are arising because of not having clarity about the ceremonies and rituals. So he thinks that the ancestors will suffer. See, you try to give the Shraddha ceremony when you do, you are trying to offer something here which the belief is that it reaches the ancestors wherever they are. But they also have their own punya pap, their own karma. How much ever you may pray for their better life, it can only serve as a conducive effect. Like for example, sometimes when you go from one city to another by air, going might take 3 hours, coming might take 3.5 hours. This is due to, they say, tailwind, headwind. Engine speed may be same, but tailwind you will reach faster, headwind you will take time. Similarly, your prayers and everything has only conducive effect, but what about their punya papa karma? That is the engine running. Both put together has an effect. So he lacks depth in understanding the reason for which these traditions are there. So he talks as if he knows everything. Continue.
Doshai retai kulagnanam varna sankara karakaihi utsadhyante jati dharmaha Kuladharmascha shashvataha Doshai retai kulagnanam Varnasankara karakaihi Utsadhyante jati dharmaha Kuladharmascha shashvataha.
By these misdeeds of the destroyers of the family, that cause intermixture of castes, the eternal religious rights of castes and families are destroyed. He's saying by these misdeeds of the family, the destroyers of the family. He is saying we are about to become destroyers of the family. This very premise is wrong. Who has gone to war in this scenario from the Pandavas to destroy the families? Like Jesus Christ says, iniquity there shall be. Woe unto you if you be the cause of it. There will be birth, there will be death, there will be rich, there will be poor, poverty, all these things will continue. But if you happen to be the cause for somebody's poverty because you have taken more than what is necessary for you, more than what you've paid for, then you are denying the other person. Then you are giving some cause. So it says, iniquity there shall be. Woe unto you if you be the cause of it. You must understand, there will be people dying, there will be people being born. All sorts of things will be happening. Now, no one should get into the wars or argument with anybody with revenge in mind. This is not the case here. They tried some, dhan, ved, everything. Then finally, dhand is the only option. Therefore, we are here. So to say that, oh, destroyers of the family will be hurled to hell and this and that, this, the very premise is wrong. See, you can build a beautiful house with all the best architectural beauty, but the foundation is weak or no foundation only. What sort of a building would that be? This is exactly what Arjuna understands. There is no foundation, or the foundation is weak in his argument. Then he is trying to come to the conclusion. The very starting point, the very premise is wrong. They did not go to the war to destroy families. You have some questions? See, the fear itself comes because of lack of clarity.
No, but in the fear of consequence, he is quite confident of himself. In the fear, he is confused that I am fighting with my relatives, with my people.
That's what I am saying, the fear of consequence, I am afraid. Why am I afraid?
Not that I
there is something that I may be wrong. I believe I am wrong. Are about to commit something wrong. So there is lack of clarity. If you are in the wrong direction and the conscience is pricking you, you must take, what are you supposed to do? If you have the capacity to think, you pause and think whether am I really in the wrong direction. Or if I lack the clarity, then I go to somebody who I believe has clarity, some higher intellect. Instead of that, he is taking things on his own and he thinks that he knows. It's very wrong. So the very premise is wrong. One should be concerned about the consequence. I should not do things wrong. I told you, if in fact you will have to pay for both your omissions and commissions. If you do what you ought not to do, if you don't do what you ought to do, for both you will have to pay. Right? So you should be concerned.
For example, if he's looking at it as a wrong action, is it right now? Or as a fear, and he'll get
See, the concern that I should not be doing something which brings me pap is right. But I should also ask myself, do I have the capacity to decide whether this is the right action or not? The problem is, many times we are in a situation where we don't realize that we do not have the capacity to see that this is right or wrong. So that is where you need to go to a higher intellect and ask. Right? In your own family there may be some higher intellect or somebody whom you believe can help you. You must surrender there. It's like you yourself take decisions about treating your body. Something goes wrong with the body. Right? There are doctors. You go to them. How can you decide that I will administer medicine? So if I get a here Arjuna is clear, that is why he is talking. The moment he gets the doubt, you will see in the second chapter, then he will ask Krishna. Many times we are so sure, that is why we have to be very, very careful. Are we really clear, or is it just the mind thinking that we are clear? So that fear of consequence that Arjuna is having, that I must go away from this battle because we are about to do wrong. Firstly, if you enter the war with selfish attitude, then it is wrong. Doesn't mean that you don't have to, you have to stop the war. You have to change your attitude. That's the solution. Duryodhanas have done wrong. Pandavas tried all the methods and they entered the war. At any point in time, is the thought of revenge or anything coming, then you need to deal with it and change it, not run away from the battle.
No, but how will revenge not come into the picture? They have done something wrong, and that is why
battle is to avenge the wrongdoings,
yeah.
Not the person. I should not have any hatred to anybody. I should not personalize it. There requires a correction at the external level. I do it objectively. But why should, the very reason why he is suffering here is because he has personalized the whole thing. And now all that he needs to do is remove that personalization, make it impersonal. Not run away from the battle.
Fight for the cause, not
exactly,
there.
Exactly. A scenario happens to be there where you might personalize it and you feel that yes, I am personalizing. Quickly try to change it rather than running away from the battle and not doing your duty.
How can you not personalize it? I mean, it's been done to them, some wrong has been done to them. So that's why they are taking revenge. This whole battle is because wrong was done to them.
So what?
I am only saying, no doubt wrong has been done, that correct it. But why do you have to have hatred? That hatred is happening because of some blemish within you, because of the ignorance within you. If you had the knowledge, then you will not have the hatred. Like when Krishna is presenting himself in the battlefield, he is there not out of hatred. He is there out of knowledge. So those who lack knowledge will certainly have hatred.
Now how do you overcome this hatred?
Only through knowledge. That's what Krishna will give in the second chapter onwards. You have to develop yourself by gaining the knowledge, by developing the clarity, by seeing things correctly, and that will come with knowledge only, and knowledge and information, reflection. What other method is there? Right? So the whole spirituality is making you wake up and gain that knowledge. Otherwise you will be talking like this, caught up in ignorance. Usually when there are discussions happening, if there is a wise person, he remains silent, because everybody is talking as if they know, their authority is in what they are talking. They do not know what they are talking. They are not authority there, but they will be giving opinion. Really a person who is an authority will not open his mouth.
Wait for everybody to finish and then.
Even then he will keep quiet because nobody is asking.
There's also methods in this karma yoga.
Yeah, yeah.
So for all kinds of people, sometimes just to hear.
Just to hear will not help.
So to practice, so that he talks about yoga, he talks about meditation.
He talks about karma yoga, bhakti yoga, jnana yoga. All that has to be practiced. See, in the Vedanta Retreat, Swamiji discusses this. Even here, time and again, we point out. See, every individual, like we just discussed, have sattva rajas tamas. We have the capacity to study and reflect to some extent. So to that extent you must do jnana yoga. To the extent your personality has emotions, you need to do bhakti yoga. to the extent you are an active type, you must do Karma Yoga. Generally, I can say, many of us will go mad if we do not have work at hand. You, right? You already have so many servants at home. Everything is taken away. What will you do? You will get so bucked. So you are not in the category of where you can sit down and meditate all the time. You can't do all that. So you need to be active. So I would say you, generally in this sort of classrooms, you would find people who are more active. There's so much of desires, needs to be given direction. So there must, out of 24 hours, 8 hours you sleep. Usually more, but at least 8 hours you sleep. So balance 16 hours, the daily routine, taking care of the body and other things, let's say 3-4 hours goes in there. So baki time mein, you must have predominant karma yoga. Not just karma, not just action, do it with the right attitude. So 7-8 hours of good karma yoga, then 1-2 hours of jnana yoga and some bhakti yoga thrown in. The right mixture. It can vary from person to person. You cannot be studying all the time, you'll go mad. You also have to have hatha yoga, the pranayama and all those things coming up in your daily routine. Then you will see the development, not otherwise.
And the karma yoga in a way is a chance or the time to practice agya yoga.
Yes.
Because
yes, it is the place where you develop the attitude.
Situations.
Right? It's karma yoga purifies your inner personality. The more you purify them, suddenly you will find the same Gita study will be more beneficial to you. Because your mind is getting purified from inside. So you must continue your Karma Yoga. The entire third chapter is Karma Yoga. We'll discuss that in detail when we get there. So he says, by these misdeeds of the destroyers, all this is confusion speaking. Verse 44.
Utsannakuladharmanam manushyanam janardhana narakeniyatam vasaha bhavatityanushushruma utsannakuladharmanam manushyanam janardhana Narake niyatam vasaha bhavati ityanu shushruma.
We have heard, O Janardana, that men who have lost their family religious rights dwell in hell for an indefinite period. He himself is saying, we have heard. Just you go on hearing this and that, you cannot come to conclusions. You need to digest. This is the biggest problem happening. You know, people switch on the television and somebody comes and speaks. Once in a while you've heard something from somebody. What that person said, in what context, you don't understand. You don't do proper digestion. Just like that, you will go on giving your opinions. Who can claim to have gone through a proper study, proper reflection? Everybody, you know, Tom, Dick and Harry just read some books and then they start giving. It's like you just pick up some law books and then can you become a lawyer? You just start picking up some medical books and then can you treat people? You know, one fellow, I remember, came to the academy and, you know, he was just said, you know, we have a medical chest in the academy, just some general medicines and all that. And that also, whatever requires prescription from the doctor, you take that and then you know, administer. So somebody is made in charge of that. He thought that he will be now treating students. And one day he was just arguing. His sister is a doctor. His grandfather is a doctor, something like that. Therefore he has more right to treat. What nonsense is this? Hey, you should have a, you know, dedicated study, reflection, understanding, practice. So much they do before they give you that degree. Just like that, how can you do? So he said, we have heard, lacking what? Digestion. So So what he must realize is, I don't have the capacity to talk. I am not an authority here. On the war front, yes, maybe. But in these areas, I don't have knowledge. In the area of ignorance, I must surrender. I must firstly be aware of where I know, where I don't know. What I know, what I don't know, I should know. That basic minimum clarity I should have. Otherwise, I will be dabbling into all those things I do not know also. And bring problem to myself. This is what Arjuna is trying to do.
Aho bhata mahat papam, aho bhata mahat papam, kartum vyavasita vayam, kartum vyavasita vayam, yadraja sukalobhena, yadraja sukalobhena, hantum swajana mudyataha, hantum swajana mudyataha, aho bhata mahat papam, kartum vyavasita vayam, yadraja sukalobhena, hantum swajana mudyataha.
Alas, we are involved indeed to commit a great sin by preparing to slay our own kinsmen for the greed of pleasure of kingdom. This whole thing is wrong. It's not because of the greed of the pleasure of kingdom that you should go to the battlefield. If it was greed, why did they try the other methods? See, a greedy fellow will not have patience. Immediately he'll try to do all the wrong things. First he'll try shortcut method, na? If you are doing business out of greed, first thing you'll do is you'll try to bribe the other fellow. Get the work done. You will not try to be righteous, follow the ethics and morality. They did all that. That itself proves that they're not greedy. Greedy fellow wants to make most doing nothing or minimum. So they did not try all that. In spite of coming back after all those things and they had the right to claim the thing, they still follow righteous methods. That is a clear proof that the Pandavas were not greedy. They did not say, you give away your also. They even said, give us 5 villages. That is not a sign of greed. The sign of greed will be what? You also walk out, I want your kingdom also. That is not what they are saying. So this whole thing is, what he is talking about is out of confusion. Clearly because he saw Bhishma, Drona and few of his relatives to whom he is terribly attached, he is now talking like this. So he suddenly thinks that out of greed. This is not greed. After trying all the righteous methods, they have gone into the war. And suddenly he turned personal. That's where the problem came. His ego got involved. But this he is not able to see. Therefore he is now saying, alas, we are about to commit a sin. So let us stop now.
Yadi mama pratikaram, yadi mama pratikaram, ashastram shastra panayaha, ashastram shastra panayaha, dātarāśrārane hanyuhu, dātarāśrārane hanyuhu, tanmekṣemataram bhavet, tanmekṣemataram bhavet, yadi māma pratikāram, aśastram śastra pāṇayah, dātarāśrārane hanyuhu, tanmekṣemataram bhavet.
If the sons of Dhritarashtra armed with weapons should slay me unarmed and unresisting in battle, that would be better for me. Now, he is saying, therefore, let me sacrifice my life if that is what they want, rather than trying to kill them. He is sounding as if he is a great sacrificial human being. Now, sacrifice cannot happen in a situation, in a condition. He was not thinking of all those things before he came to the war. A condition has made him think like this. This itself proves that he is not a saint. He is not yet become that great sacrificial level. So like I told you, you must be honest to your mental state. if you have desires for this world, be in the world. You cannot try to become sannyasi. So, he is talking as if he is a great sacrificial person, which he is not. In a condition, in a circumstance, he suddenly become sacrificial. When that scenario is removed, then the whole thing will change. Like a cold stricken snake, you know. The snake is cold stricken. You can play frisbee with it. Don't try, I'm just telling you. When the heat comes back, slowly, you know, take the snake will start showing its original nature. So in a situation, Arjuna is talking here. It is not the real inner personality talking.
Sanjaya uvacha, eva muktva arjuna sankhe, eva muktva arjuna sankhe, ratopasta upavishat, visrujya sasharam chapam, shoka samvigna manasaha, Sanjaya uvacha, eva muktva arjuna sankhe, ratopasta upavishat, visrujya sasharam chapam, shoka samvigna manasaha. Sanjaya
said to Dhritarashtra, having spoken thus in the battlefield, Arjuna sat down in the seat of the chariot, casting away his bow and arrow, with mind distressed with sorrow. So Dhritarashtra asked Sanjaya, please tell me what is happening on the battlefield between my sons and Pandavas, Pandu's children. Sanjaya has reported everything in detail, and he said, Arjuna, having spoken thus to Krishna, he threw away his bow and arrow, sat down on the chariot, saying that I will not fight. The mind was so disturbed, Arjuna's mind was so disturbed, that the body became incapacitated to act. He could not think. So he became completely incapacitated to act. Having heard this, Dhritarashtra must have been very happy. But he cannot be completely happy. Why? Because he knows Krishna is sitting next to Arjuna. He is not going to allow Arjuna to throw away his weapons like that for long. So Duryodhanas cannot think that they will be able to win without having to fight. It cannot be taken as a walkover, because Krishna is not going to allow Arjuna to walk over. So we'll continue the second chapter when we meet next time. The tradition is that we don't think that we have concluded. We've just begun. That should be our attitude. So usually we chant the first verse, but before that we'll conclude this chapter. Om Tat Sat Iti Srimad Bhagavad Gita Su Upanishatsu Brahma Vidyayam Yoga Shastri Shri Krishna Arjuna Samvade Arjuna Vishada Yoga Nama Pratamo Dhyayaha. It says, thus in the Upanishads of the glorious Bhagavad Gita, the science of the eternal, the scripture of yoga, the dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna ends the first chapter entitled The Yoga of Arjuna's Despondency. That is the meaning of what we just chanted. So we should feel from within that we have not concluded the chapter, we have just begun. So to follow the tradition, we will chant verse number 1 together.
Dhritarashtra uvacha, Dhritarashtra uvacha, Dharmakshetre Kurukshetre, Samavetayu Yutsavaha, Mamaka Pandavaschaiva, Kimakurvata Sanjaya, Dhritarashtra uvacha, Dharmakshetre Kurukshetre, samavetayu yutsavaha mamaka pandavas chaiva kimakurvata sanjaya.
You should not stop with just chanting it. It should continue with our studying and reflecting every day. Thank you.